My name's Mark Brady, MarkBrady. So, Romeo and Juliet's was 1988. I was only 15, I know. But I went into the under-18s night at first. But I was working at a pub called Hull Cheese as a glass collector. And one of the DJs, Mike McKay, used to work at Romeo's. And we asked if we could get on the guest list. So he did. But everybody used to go, and it was all underage, everybody. So it was just, didn't ask for ID. And then if you had a moustache, you could get in, and he was all right. So, yeah, so he puts on the guest list. So we'd get in there and say, sorry, lads. And they say, oh, I'm on the guest list. And I'd have a look and say, what's your name? And I'd tell them, and they say, oh, go on then, get yourself in. So that's how we first started going. So as you went in, on the bottom floor, and there was a doorman there. There was a lift and there were stairs. So the queue used to go all the way down the stairs. So you had to wait ages to get in. And if you could go in the lift and chance your arm, but if the doorman caught you, you'd know about it. So it was £2.50 to get in. But if you had a card, there's called some Like It Hot cards. I did have one and I've lost it. I'm gutted because I've looked everywhere and you just can't get them anymore. So it's like a little card with a beach with a pair of shades and on the sun, and they used to let you in for £1.50, which was, you think, oh, that's cheap, but back in the days in the 80s we didn't have a lot of money. So you used to queue to get in, you used to walk in, you'd get past the bouncers again, put some eyeliner on a tash maybe, and so you try to look a bit older. So as you walked in, you'd have like a bar area, and then you'd walk in and you'd have, so there was two, there was Romeo's and Juliet. So Romeo's, you'd walk in, and that was open first. That was Juliet's, and open till 10. So we'd go in Romeo's at about 9:30, get our drinks in there and wait for the doors to open at the back. So Romeo's used to play all the music from the charts, soul, and all the pop stuff. And then Juliet's, when you used to go in there, it was back in 88, I think it started out with acid house music, and that carried on to about 89. So there was no pop music in there or anything. There was no chart music. All the music they used to play was like underground music. It wasn't released in the charts, so it was uncool. So people wouldn't turn up if you played chart music. And then 1990, it just had something to swept the nation, really. I think it wasn't just Hull, it was the nation, and it was just house music, which came in, I think, from Chicago originally. I may be wrong, but I think that's where it started, in the warehouses, yeah. Yeah, so, and the music was just amazing. The two DJs was a guy called Phil Hailstone, and he was called DJ Angel. He'll deny that, but that's what he was known as at the time, DJ Angel. And there was a DJ called Fasty, which I mentioned last time. And he's called Tim Yeomans. So he's got a mixed cloud. He comes second in Battle of the DJs across the world. So, he's sort of like a god on decks, really. Anybody who knows anything about house music in Hull will know him. So, and there started the house scene off, really. And it was just it was an amazing time. I think when you think about it now, it's quite sad because you'll never get them times back. And as you can hear in my voice, you get quite emotional about it. So, yeah, really, really good. So,
what do you love about house music then?
People have a different taste, don't they? I think. Back in them days, the music was, I don't know how to describe it. It was just piano, women vocals. It just made you feel good. It was a good vibe. Everyone loved each other. People did what they did then, you know. It was up to them what they wanted to do. But the music, just the music itself and the atmosphere was just something different. It was just... they used to have raves. I mean, it was just right across the country. It was amazing. it got to a point where I think Margaret Thatcher, it got that much of a problem. Margaret Thatcher brought a law out where you could only have up to 3 or 4 people in a property dancing at one time. And if there was more than, I know you can't believe it, can you? I know. When you think of it now, you just think, wow, was that a law? It didn't last long. But they did start clamping down on people who was having house parties and start arresting people, yeah, for having more than so many people in the house at one time. So I think there was a big, what happened is they'd gone down to Downing Street for a big march, all the ravers, in the scruffy gear, because there was no dress code then, really. And there was pulling on the gates of Downing Street because of the law, because they weren't allowed to go out and dance and, yeah, and congregate in certain places. Because, like, I mean, they did turn up in farmers' fields, and farmer's not going to be happy, is he? And set some decks up, and 10,000 people would turn up. So, yeah, so it was great days. After the club, I mean, back in the day, the club opened at 10, it shut at 2. 4 hours, that's not enough dancing. When everyone's happy and they wanted to go out, so we used to go to an after club called Vicky's Coffee Club, which used to be down Old Headham Road near the back of it backed onto a wood yard. I think that was £5 a game, which is quite a lot in them days, so we didn't have much money, and there's always a way around to get in, so we used to sneak climb over the wood yard. And the toilets of Vicky's Coffee Club used to back onto the wood yard, so we used to jump over at the back, and then the guy in the door would look and think, I've only like 30 people in, but there's about 50 people in. So, yeah, if you got caught, you would know about it. Quite a rough place, because the local working girls used to go in there. So you'd have guys in there. So you'd have them at one side, and then it was... The ravers used to come in later on, and there was at the other side all just all dancing on chairs and tables, and so it was, yeah, it was quite a weird mix, really, but yeah, it works. It was really good. Another place we'd go to was, it was called Little Swiss. I don't know if you've heard of it, yeah, near Foreshore, yeah. So we used to go there. So everyone used to go drive down afterwards. You'd turn up, there'd be about maybe 30, 40 cars, all parked on there, and then you'd always get one car who would wire the speakers up to the car and play the music out, so everyone used to dance until the sunrise came up, and yeah, and it was good old days. So sometimes police came, chase you off, and you'd be left without a car and you'd have to walk home, but it was all worth it, it was good.
Going back to Romeo and Juliet, then, yeah. Do you have any particular memories of any nights out then, what stand out in your mind?
I mean, the first night, just to go there and just to see how different it was to other clubs, I'd describe it as sort of like magical, really. There was never any fights. Never. I can honestly say I went from 88 to 91 until it got raided, which we'll talk about in a second. And I can remember maybe being one fight. That was it. So there was a corridor. If there was going to be a fight, you'd most probably end up in the corridor. So I forgot to tell you about that. So as you walked in, if you just turned left, there was like a corridor. It was like a real weird corridor that was not well lit. You'd see a few guys with girls down there getting up some mischief. And that led from Romeo's, and it went all the way around the back to Juliet's, and that, I think that was at the front of the building. Where is it? Where the big crest is? Yeah. So yeah, and I think you could. So, but yeah, I never really went down there, but I was too busy dancing. But yeah, I mean, it was a great night every Saturday night. It was amazing. Yeah, it was just an amazing night. Obviously, the one that stood out is, like you said, when there was a drugs raid, but I wasn't there that night. I just stopped going, luckily enough, so, yeah.
So what do you remember about that?
There was a drug problem. There's no denying that. It got worse as the years going on. what you're going to remember is if there's a place and there's drugs and there's money to be earned, you're going to get criminals. And it was renowned for it. It was not just here, it was the Welly Club as well, down Beverly Road. There's both renowned for it. Well, it was a bit more, it was the same music, it was good, but it was a bit rough in there. If you didn't know the crowd in there, you could get into a bit of bother. But yeah, so I can remember the raid. It was big news then. There was no social media. So, I can remember. It was always going to happen because people were quite blatant in there doing what they was doing. And like a lot of clubs, if they're going to sell drugs, people are going to move in, and then the police are not, obviously, just crack down on it. And that was the end, really, which was sad, really, because I just stopped going. But then when I couldn't go anymore, I think then you realise, you think, oh, I can never go back again. That's it, it's finished. So, yeah, I always think now I'd like to just go for a walk around and, you know, have a look around the building, just reminisce one more time. But, yeah, so, yeah.
When you say you knew there was a drug problem type thing, did you see, what did you kind of see?
Yeah, I mean, with the rave scene, came drugs. I mean, I didn't do it myself, but I mean, I know friends did and everything. And it was, do you know, it was big trade then for people. It was big money. It was a problem right across the country. But I mean, saying it was a problem, I mean, there was no fighting, and you know, there was no violence. The police didn't know what to do. But there was just thing. I'm out. I'm in the town centre, and everyone's happy. And there's no violence, so, but when they see people coming in and earning money, because there was drug dealers and they was doing it blatantly, and there was selling to people, and like you said, the police are not going to put up with things like that. Then and that was the end of the club. Really, it was quite. It was sad time.
Was it ecstasy then, mate?
Yeah, ecstasy. I think people may take things like amphetamines, and there'd have been. Other drugs of different sorts, LSD. So, yeah, there would have been a mixture of things on demand, really. I think you could mostly, if you wanted somebody, you could most probably ask somebody and you could get that within a minute or two. So, yeah, it's, I think that's one just Juliet, so it was Welly, it was all the house clubs. So that's what came with the scene, so. Yeah.
So why did you stop going there?
Why did I stop going? Commercial music killed the scene. What you got to remember is with an underground scene, and you feel part of something. It was good. It was like being free. You're coming out the 80s of poverty, because there was a lot of poverty in the 80s. Yeah.
What kind of songs then? What kind of songs? When you say commercial then, what kind of stuff are you thinking?
So you'd have your underground music. You wouldn't have anything in the charts. It was uncalled to be in the charts. You had, Alternate, great, absolutely banned. There was all underground, Shades of Rhythm. I could just keep naming them all. But then it was underground, and then the word gets about and people start hearing about it, and then after a couple of years they thought, I'll try my hand, put a song in the charts. Sesame Street. What? When I've heard that in a nightclub, I'm fine, that's it, I'm done, I've finished. I'm not dancing to it. Prodigy, the guy who just died recently, very sad, talented guy. They brought out Charlie Says. That came out. Trip to Trumpton. Oh, it was embarrassing. And then people just thought, I'm done with it. And that was it. And that killed the scene. And then it started going into a different movement then of more of going out and dressing up in fashion and like funky house music and... which a little bit was in the charts, but it was sort of like accepted then. yeah. So the nightclub started getting a bit. You had to wear shoes to get in, and trousers and a shirt. So yeah, it all moved to a different crowd, really, and they didn't want anybody in with.
So what were you wearing then when you went?
Well, should I tell you? So we didn't have much money, so I wore the same thing most of the week. We had cut down jeans, so like a long shorts. The only fashionable thing I think we had was those called feeler boots, which, yeah, you know, feeler. And feeler did an ankle boot, and it was like a soft leather. They used to do them in different colours. I had the red ones. As well, like this red thin jacket, I can't remember what t-shirt, and a sun hat, and a United colours of Benetton. So Benetton now, so UCB, that was big at the time. So yeah, and everyone, weirdly enough, used to wear jewellery oil as aftershave. It's not like a girl thing, isn't it, really? But even the boys used to wear it. So when you used to go into a club anywhere across the country, especially Juliet's, and you used to walk in, you used to get this big hit of jewelry oil smell. And it gives, if I smell it now, it reminds me of the days. So, yeah. So, yeah, that's what we used to wear. There was no, like, £100 bottles of aftershave then. It was a couple of quid from their body shop. Also, I can remember, when I'd been a young kid as well, downstairs, there used to be a market on the ground floor. And I can remember being taken as a young child, and there was a jumble sale on a Saturday, I think. I can remember, really, really, yeah. We used to go in there with Mum, and she spent hours in looking for something for next to nothing, because, like I say, we didn't have a lot in them days. So, yeah, I can remember it was a market, like a market strut, and used to have, like, sort of like cheap stalls as well for clothes and everything. So I can remember going there, sort of like, I'm talking late 70s, early 80s. So that was my first memory of the building. And British Home Stores as well, everyone used to go for... Everyone used to go for gravy and chips from British Home Stores. It was renowned for it, for the cafe, yeah, which is at the other side of the building then. So town used to be really busy. There was no social media, there was no phones. You'd have to arrange to a certain place in Hull. You've heard about the Blue Box, I'm assuming. Everyone, yeah, I'll meet you outside ABC, Blue Box, meet you in BHS. Yeah, it used to be good days, used to be busy, used to go out. I mean, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, even Monday nights. There's a Monday night, there's Tuesday night. You could go out 7 nights a week then to a nightclub. And... But like I say, social media's, it's just absolutely killed everything at the moment, so which is quite sad, really. But I feel sorry for the youngsters now. So
how often were you going out then? Was it just on a Saturday night? Or?
Yeah, I'd sometimes do a Thursday. If I'd gathered some money from somewhere, I don't know where we used to get it from, to be fair, but you just used to. So a Thursday night, but the Saturday night was the main night. Back in those days, you couldn't afford to go out more than that. But yeah, so the Saturday night was the main night as well. Everybody used to go. I don't know. You used to get everybody. It used to be hundreds of people, and it was overcrowded. But there was no fire regulations, and it's yeah. So
what were you drinking in there?
I'd go and have a drink. I'd have a bottle of Grolsch. Yeah, so they used to do the bottles of Grolsch with the tops, yeah, with the twist off tops. I'd only need one or two, and that was it. I was ruined. And we didn't have a lot of money. It's like I say, so you used to make it last you all night as well. So yeah, I think, and then a bit later came out the Diamond White and Castaways, yeah. And then if you mixed them together, you got a blast away. If you was flush, yeah, a blast away, yeah, it was called. So yeah, there weren't a lot of drinks, to be fair. The market wasn't flooded then, so that was your main drinks. You'd have a couple of draft beers, which I never drank, and Baby Shams, obviously not for me, and Taboo and Lemonade, which was a drink then as well. I think a lot of people used to drink it, so yeah, that was the main drinks.
How busy would you say it was in there when you were there? Did it die off, or was it?
Yeah. So it was when I first started going. It was, and then what you got to remember is everybody heard about it. The word on the street, you've got to get to Juliet's, and like say when you walk, because like obviously when I'd gone in the '80s, and then sort of like gone to a place called Henry's, we started going there, and then someone said to me on a bus, "Have you been to Juliet's lately?" And I said, "No." He said, "You've got to go. It's like walking into a spaceship," and it was. And then you tell your friends, and then they tell their friends. So yeah, it was absolutely, it was rammed. Towards the end, when the music started getting commercialised, it started dying off. People started getting fed up of it, and they didn't feel a part of it anymore. So yeah, I think it did start dying off, and I think the club was struggling financially as well. So I've heard from a few sources. So one of my friends, DJ Terry Spammer, is a promoter now in Leeds. He started promoting back in 91. There was a couple of nights called Dance Unity and Banana G. And he used to get the DJs and the MCs, because the MCs started coming out then as well. And he used to get them from all over the country, and he used to get the big names in. So they would sell out as well, and it'd be about 15, 20 quid a ticket for them as well. So there's no £1.50s. Those days had gone. So he sort of like kept it alive, Terry. And when the club went bust, he moved across to the Tower nightclub. And he took all to his house nights there, and did a few at Oasis nightclub as well, which was down Albion Street, which is flats. Again, that's not there anymore, so which is quite sad as well. So, yeah, spent a few days in there as well afterwards in the 90s. So, yeah.
Is there anything else you want to add about that? I know you
want
to talk about your granddad as well.
Yeah, granddad built the clock tower. It's the big clock tower. It's the one opposite Hull Cheese. People know Hull Cheese. It used to be the old job centre. Back in the 1950s, it was a funny story, because he said, because he built it from hand as well, from scratch. And he used to make watches and clocks from by hand as well, from scratch, which is quite talented. So he came across from Malta in the late 40s, I think, early 50s. And he was a stonemason. I can't remember who works for now. But yeah, so I can remember he said, so I was building the clock, and he said, I had this big crowd at the bottom of me, all cheering. And he was thinking, what are they doing? Why, we're only building the clock. Why are they all here? And he had a look down and seen Laurel and Hardy. So it was the second time that they'd been. And he said, He could see them, and he said Laurel and Hardy was walking, and he said there was this massive crowd following them down to the theatre. So, that was a good story. I told me from back in the '50s as well. So yeah, long before our day. So yeah, that's it. I miss the nightclub. I do. There's a picture of it online. If you Google Romeo and Juliet, you'll get a lot. Unfortunately. You get a couple of songs that my son's put on YouTube. Because I've brainwashed him with the music, and he loves it as well. So, and you'll get the raid where the police have gone around with the cameras. There's not a lot of videos, unfortunately, because it's like I say, technology in those days, no one had cameras, they did, but they just, you lose the pictures, and so it was all lost, really. So, yeah. It's quite sad.
Right.
So just before we end as well, Juliet's used to go in, and the ceiling was built of 100,000 lights, it seemed at the time, it might have been. And all the lights came on at 10 o'clock, and they used to slowly dim till about 8:30, and then the flashing disco lights would come on. So it was quite renowned for having its lights right across the roof. So yeah. I don't know how safe it was. One thing that stood out, like you say, for your first time to go in and just to see it, like you said, when I can remember someone describes like walking into a spaceship, it was, yeah. But the atmosphere was, it was just, you could, you'll never get it back, those days. And anybody who's went in those days, oh, I say, and they always say, yes, I miss it, just for one night. If I could just go back for one night. So, yeah.
Just think about it then. What kind of was the mixture between boys and girls then? There? Was it a 50-50 split, or was it more blokes?
Yeah, no, I would say, yeah. I'd say it was around about 50-50 split. Yeah. What I've got to remember is when you go into the Romeo's, you'd go there to pull a girl. I won't. But I went to Juliet's. Juliet's, you went to dance. You went for a night out. You didn't go to meet a girl. So to meet a girl in there is most probably won't going to happen, because people just wanted to dance all night and party, and everyone was friendly and happy. Romeo's was different. You'd most probably go there to pull a girl. So yeah, it's two different scenes, really, under one roof, which is quite bizarre, really. It's, that's what made it so unique as a club as well. So, yeah.
You don't really get that anymore.
No.
Not in them two extremes.
No,
music and, you know.
No, I mean, like, if you go to a big rave now, do they have different tents? Mm. So it'd be like that, yeah. So you could have one where you could go cheesy pop, one you could go and get house. So, yeah. So, but this was under one roof, and it was split in the middle, obviously. So, yeah, it's good times. Yeah. If someone first ever been into the club and was in Romeo's, dancing to disco, and they walked into Juliet's, they would have thought, what the heck is going on in here? They'd just be like, they'd have to walk out and just like, you never guess what's going on in there. There's people dancing on chairs and tables and everything, and it was totally different, two different scenes, yeah. It was good times, I feel lucky to be part of it, so.